regional finals.
Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Back in the saddle again.
Back in the studio.
Here we are.
Yes.
We appreciate you being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber for being a freeloader. Here it is. This is the giving time of year. And you are choosing to not give us your money for this podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe reconsider it. I don't know. Go to TexasFootball.com/subscribe. We hope you'll do that. Anyway, at the controls today, she has been upgraded from tiny VNA to regular size VNA.
Yay!
It's VNA Moreno.
What's up, guys?
Hi, VNA Moreno.
How's it going?
You look very nice today.
Thank you.
I like your glasses.
I went to the dentist today.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh. Went okay. Crentis the dentist?
Crentis the dentist.
This is your regional final preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, I am going to give Matt Step one last chance.
Oh, no.
To change his mind about who's winning each state championship. He has one opportunity to hop off the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out. And then we'll have the final game draft of 2024. The last one until August.
I'm a little sad about that.
The last game draft until August. Because next week's the state semifinals. We preview all 20 games. But anyway, we will get to that coming up here in a moment. But first, Matthew, we will start as we always do. With your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week. Presented by Community Coffee. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at Community Coffee.
Jesus.
.com. Matt Stepp. Oh, V&A's got our community coffee
today. It's a good coffee day today.
It is a good coffee day. Matt Stepp, your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week. District 23-6A made a little bit of history this week.
Mm-hmm.
They've got all four teams in the regional finals.
Mm-hmm.
Remarkable. Let's take a moment. Remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
All four teams in the regional finals. That has happened two other times. All four teams in the regional finals.
In 6A or?
In 6A.
Okay.
My question for you, Matthew. There are two teams that were in both of those years. It happened in 2007 and 2015.
Ooh.
So my question for you. Who are the two teams that have been part of two different districts that both put four teams into the playoffs and into the regional finals?
This is tough.
See, it's a little extra.
Yeah. I'm going to go...
To be clear, 2007, it was a 5A district, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm going to go DeSoto and Austin Westlake.
That's incorrect.
Dang it.
The answer, Converse Judson.
Okay. Oh, I was thinking teams that are still alive in the playoffs.
No.
That's where I am.
Converse Judson and Smithson Valley. They were in the district together, District 26-5A in 2007,
mm-hmm.
which had Judson, Smithson Valley, Reagan, and Madison made the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2015, 25-6A, Judson, Smithson Valley, Cibolo Steel, and Clemens all made it to the regional finals there. Let's see. Did in 2007, did one of those teams play for a title? I think I made that
2007?
That was Judson, Reagan, Smithson Valley, and Madison.
Did Judson make it in 2000? Was the 2007 Judson's last one?
This is knowable. Let me see if I can find this out. This is a follow-up fun fact of the week. It's an extra fun fact. 2007, Judson lost to Trinity 13-10, but a ticket-friendly score of 13-10. Yes, but anyway, there it is, your Texas high school fun fact of the week. Okay, how's your Thanksgiving?
That was good.
And how's your birthday?
Birthday was quiet, but good.
Good.
It was on Monday, so, you know. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving was good.
Good.
We don't do a traditional Thanksgiving because I have traditional Thanksgiving in Canada.
Yes, you do.
So I just went and picked up a whole bunch of barbecue on Wednesday and did that.
Hell yeah, brother.
I went to Roy Hutchins and Trophy Club.
Oh, and?
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. And then I left Thursday night and headed to Houston and watched a whole lot of football.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the regional semifinals.
I call that a win.
Overarching.
It was a good win, yeah. It was a win.
The overarching thought. Oh, one more thing before we get going into this.
Oh.
So we have an intern, Sam Moore.
Oh.
Sam's awesome, by the way.
He is awesome. I believe he is the gentleman who creates the thumbnail for this, or is this you, V&A?
No, Sam. Okay, so Sam creates all of the other ones, all of the other thumbnails for mm-hmm. all of the other podcasts, but I am the only one that makes the Tep and Step.
Great.
Thumbnails.
Excellent. So then we just want to make your job easy for you. So we're going to take, we each going to take 3 seconds and we're going to make a thumbnail worthy face that she can cut out.
Wow. Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
We're just going to make it easy for you.
Okay. First up is Tep. Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
And now here comes Steph.
Which camera do I look at? Do I look right here?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Perfect. Okay. There we go. We just did V&A's job for you.
That is amazing.
Regional semi. Don't expect that every week. Yeah. Regional semifinals.
I'm going to ask for that every week.
That's a Thanksgiving gift for you.
A Thanksgiving gift for regular size V&A.
Did you guys talk about this before?
No, actually, no.
No, we didn't. Okay.
Wow.
So.
Just how good we are. It's just how good we are.
So, regional semifinal week. Overall, it's funny. I don't think you had a ton of huge, big brand name stunners. But I think what you had in the is like this undercurrent of like under the radar, really kind of like off the beaten path surprises
mm-hmm.
that I think really turn things upside down. I'll give you an example. I don't know if Laporte and Angleton each beating the Brazos Valley teams, the College Station teams, College Station and A&M Consolidated is going to register on a statewide level.
Sure.
But that's pretty shocking.
Laporte especially.
Yes.
Angleton won missed PAT, really the difference in the game. Laporte in the second half completely dominated and consolidated. I watched the second half of that game last night, just kind of doing some research on this week's games, and man, Laporte, number one, if they get state, they got a fun crowd.
They do.
They have a lively crowd. It was fun to watch them. You could feel the energy on a web broadcast. That was a surprise for sure. You know, I think PNG over Texas High is a little bit of a surprise, just based on what we thought of Texas mm-hmm. High.
More on PNG later.
Yeah, we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk about them a little bit. I don't know if there was a ton of just like real just
big brand name surprises.
Big win for Llano over Goliad. You know,
okay,
rally.
But for example, Marlin
Dangerfield over Newton is probably the one.
And especially Dangerfield over Newton.
The way they did it.
And especially the way they did it.
Yep,
exactly.
Yep.
To dominate them. But like Marlin over Mason is pretty surprising. Because the way that Mason was playing, they looked like they were rolling right there. But like as far as big brand name stuff, but then you had like games that we were excited about that I think lived up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the call, Pickle and I were on the call for DeSoto and Willis. And that is a game where if you were box score scouting, you missed the game. Like you missed the game. Because 14-0 Willis, 42-14 DeSoto, 42-35 DeSoto, 55-35 DeSoto.
It got to 42-35, and I was like, is DeSoto going to lemon booty this thing?
Do you know what's funny?
The
only, and I couldn't say this on the air, but like for reasons that are probably understandable, that's the kind of game like old DeSoto might have lost. Like, think like DeSoto of like 2021, where like, they used to be. It's easy to forget now. Now they've won 2 straight state championships.
Mm-hmm.
DeSoto used to be a team that was kind of known for
spitting the bit. Later in the playoffs, yeah, they mm-hmm. kind of had a reputation of that. You know, there was a couple of times where they had Kyler Murray's
mm-hmm.
Allen teams on the ropes and let them off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, started in 2016. That first year they won a state championship, they kind of got over that hump, and you know they had some down years. But they've gotten back to it. Yeah, that was a game where they. It was pretty evident, and we talked about it in Tep and Step last week. Willis has a small and fast defense, and the question was going to be, could they hold up to DeSoto's punishing run game, and they just couldn't do it.
Down the stretch, they couldn't. The other thing, so there was that. You were at North Shore Katy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will just say this. My opinion on North Shore has not changed. When they play to their paper, they're the best team in Texas.
Yes.
That's the best team in Texas.
The last 2 weeks, they've started out 30-0 on Ridgepoint, 21-0 on Katy. And they were about to make it 28-0.
And not just a big, but like performances indicative of that score. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like they're dominating. They're mm-hmm. kicking the crap out of these good teams.
Mm-hmm.
They have not... Playing 48 minutes for them has been a
challenge.
It's
like they lose interest in the middle of the game. You know, and they kind of... Couple of bad turnovers, let Katy back in the game, and all of a sudden it's 21-14, and you're like, what the heck is going on here? And then they flip the switch again and you know,
make turn it up, yeah.
But that's got to be a concern. I know Willie Gaston talked about it post-game with me that, you know, we need to play four quarters, mm-hmm. and we haven't really done that, and we're going to need to play four quarters. We can't keep doing this.
Another example of a game that wasn't off our radar, but like I think we were kind of waiting for this week. Bro, the bold gold of Post.
Yeah.
Over Sunray. And what a performance.
Yeah.
They went out there and kind of did what nobody else has been able to do to Sunray, which is get them to chase
mm-hmm.
and put them on the defensive almost. And, like, they took command of that game early,
mm-hmm.
and then they were just like, we'll trade punches with you, but, like, we're not gonna let our foot off the gas.
They held serve. You know,
absolutely.
Ian Vergara had a huge game, 5 touchdowns. I was amused that Coach Wright, post-game, told, I think, Press Pass Sports that, you know, Dave Campbell's didn't even pick us to make the playoffs this year. So hashtag disrespect season.
That's
in
right.
Full effect.
Well, weren't they like 2-8 last year?
They had a couple of bad years, and all of a sudden they go from 2-8 to 13-0. Among the biggest turnarounds, regardless of classification,
absolutely.
In Texas.
One of the best stories in the state, but now they're in the regional final. Mm. I'm trying to think of anything else. I mean, look, we'll talk about them in a second, but the Carthage machine, that final score is 28-7, right?
Yes, 28-7.
That is as impressive a performance with a relatively milquetoast score that you'll ever see.
But Pleasant Grove's defense is really, really good, and they gave Carthage some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But Carthage's defense was equally good, and eventually Pleasant Grove just their defense kind of wore down late.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so credit to Carthage. That was an impressive win, and now they get former district rival Van this week.
So here's what I want to do. We are now at the midway point of the playoffs. I don't know if you guys know that. Midway point.
Yeah, we got 3 weeks left. Just 3 weeks left in the Texas high school football season.
It was like 76 games, including six-man. It's like 76 games.
Yeah, I know how many UIL 11-man games there are, but yeah.
Yeah, you add in six more playoff games in six-man, so it's 76, I think. Yeah. That sounds right. Anyway, here's what I want to do.
All right.
I'm going to give you one opportunity, Matt Stepp. We're each going to have an opportunity.
Okay.
To hit the exit ramp.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about your pre-playoff.
I'm definitely hitting the exit ramp in 581.
State championship picks.
Uh-huh.
And you got to tell me now who you're riding with the rest of the way. You got to ride with them the rest of the way, though.
Okay.
Deal?
All right. All
okay.
Right.
We're going to go smallest to largest.
All right.
6A division or 2A division 2. You took the Shiner Comanches. Do you want to jump off the Shiner bandwagon?
No, I'm rolling with the Comanches.
Okay. I took Munster. I'm sticking with Munster.
Both of us feeling pretty
good. Both of us feeling okay.
We could see, I think Shiner Munster in a state championship is very like very possible.
2A division 2A division 1. You have Ganado. Sticking with Ganado?
I'm sticking with them, but Stanford. Whew. Stanford's
so
awesome.
So I
with Ganado.
So I had Sunray.
Oh, you got to exit.
I've got to exit. We're forced exit. They're closing down the lanes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with Stanford. With Stanford. They look the part. Although Post has made a habit of making us look really dumb. You know what I mean? Okay, so that's 2A Division 1. 3A Division 2. We both have Gunner. I see no reason to change.
No,
that's from my perspective. 3A Division 1. I guess this is kind of the inflection point. You've got Franklin.
Sticking with them.
I got Columbus, and I'm going to stick with them. And I guess we'll find out this week.
Well, if we find out where they're playing.
Exactly right.
It is 5:25 on Monday, and Columbus and Franklin still have not figured out where they're playing yet.
We'll talk about that down the street.
Yeah.
4A Division 2.
I got my phone out just in case.
4A Division 2, speaking of which, we both talked about Carthage.
Yes, sticking with them.
They look like they are on a roll. 4A Division 1, you took Kilgore.
Oh, I have breaking news. Would you like breaking news?
Oh, breaking news.
Franklin and Columbus, Friday, 7 o'clock at Gupton Stadium in Cedar Park.
Okay.
Just got the text from Coach Fannin.
They finally agreed.
Let's go.
That was a...
My phone buzzed, and I was like, wait, let me check. And it was Coach Fannin.
That was pulling teeth to get that together.
So that now my Friday, Saturday schedule is now set.
We'll talk about that. Have that the end. 4A Division I, you took Kilgore. You sticking with Kilgore?
I'm riding with the Bulldogs.
Okay. All right.
Got a soft spot for Kilgore.
I've got Salina, and I'm sticking with Salina. I got no reason to change. 5A Division II. Mm-hmm. You got the South Oak Cliff Golden Bears.
Big game this week, but I'm sticking with them.
Okay. I've got Richmond Randall. I'm a little tempted to go with P&G, but I'm going to stick with Randall. They have given me... They have not done anything wrong. They have not done anything to make me doubt. So,
yeah,
I'll stick with Randall.
You know, Randall hasn't, in 13 games, has not allowed more than 14 points in a game all year.
Their defense is outrageous.
Yeah.
Number one, 5A Division 2. 5A Division 1. Matt Stepp, how do you feel about the A&M Consolidated Tigers?
Not feeling great after the second half against LaPorte. So.
All right. So, who are you going to ride with?
Give me...
Dude, do you realize you are... You have one regional finals
five
left?
I went
Ryan... Georgetown and Consolidated Georgetown. And Piper.
Georgetown blowing a 45-7 second quarter lead. Just, I'm bitter about that still. I'm going to go Denton Ryan.
Wow.
I went with Denton Ryan in Region 1. They're the only one left. I got to stick with it. I got to ride with it.
I'm going to stick with Alito for mine. 6A Division 2. I'll have to make a change here. You took South Lake Carroll.
Yes.
I don't want to tell you what to do.
Yeah, it's the injuries have just caught up to them.
If you don't know, they have been without Riley Wormley, who has been injured for about half the season.
Yeah, USC commit.
Got injured middle of the season. Mm-hmm. It now appears Davis Penn has joined him on the sideline.
Yes, Davis Penn got hurt, I think, early in the friendship game in round two, and he's out. He's a Baylor commit. Now, he's a junior, so they at least get him back.
Do we know what his long-term, like, as far as for the rest, is he done for the year?
I would assume he's probably out for the playoffs.
I mean, he was in street clothes, I believe. Yeah, so...
Unfortunately for South Lake, I'm going to take the exit ramp, and I'm going to have to go DeSoto at this point.
I had Willis winning the state championship.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
They gave the man a run, but
I'm going back to the man.
Okay.
DeSoto is my pick. Until I'll just say this.
I can't quit you, DeSoto.
Until somebody slows down Tiger Ryden. Under like 200 yards.
Well, then they got Sarad Baker and Meissen Cook Johnson. I mean, Johnson Cook. Like, that's a three-headed. And then Keldon Ryan can run the ball too. They're a running machine.
And then 6A Division I, you've got a Atascocita.
Yeah, kind of a hipster.
You're gonna ride or die.
I'm gonna stick with it. I'm not gonna not gonna back out now.
I've got North Crowley. Now my beloved Coppell Cowboys gave them a run.
Yeah.
A friend of mine went to the game. And I told them...
Apparently it was a packed house. Yeah. Like Coppell and North Crowley both packed it out.
I told them, I was like, I just want them to be respectable. And they were more than respectable in that game.
Yeah, I mean, they don't fumble in the goal line there in the second half. It could be a
real dicey game.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Just send Coach Wiley a text yet and just say, hey, you're good. Your job is safe. Tepper is the reason why your job is safe.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to stick with North Crowley. If they're alive, I'm going to keep rolling with them. Yeah. So there you go. There it is. Our last chance exit ramp. Okay, it's now time for our regional final game draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Here's how it works this week, and not again until August.
It's the last one. Play some sad music.
Steph and I go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. That is the phrase that pays. And so last week, if you wanted to pick like Grapeland and Overton, which ended up being an awesome game, Grapeland and Overton, you could have. And this week, you can pick any of the 44 UIL Texas High School football games on the board that you're most interested in. We'll go back and forth selecting games that we're most interested in. Then we'll find out where Step is going now that it's finally settled. And we'll round it out by finding out what V&A wrote down on that little pad of paper at first. So,
you're writing a lot of stuff, V? Look at that.
There you go. That's right.
It looks empty right now. I guess
we got to get the bits going.
Yeah, get them going.
Sorry, my bad. Had a coin toss before the show. Matt Stepp won the coin toss, which means he gets the final first pick of the draft, which means I get the last pick of the entire season, though, which is nice.
Yeah.
Matt Stepp, what is your first pick of the regional final draft, which features 12 rematches,
A lot of rematches. Big rematch week.
And only two games that I think are mismatches at the 11-man ranks.
Okay.
There's two games I think are mismatches.
I'm going to go with the obvious pick here, in my opinion, and that is 7 o'clock Friday night at Homer Bryce Stadium in Nacogdoches, live on TexanLive.com. It's a rematch of the last two 5A Division II state champions who played each other in 2022 and 2023, and they're playing in round four of the playoffs because of a quirky UIL realignment. We talked about this in February, and you brought it up on Twitter this week. This is why realignment is important, because you get stuff like this. There's a little quirk in the realignment, sent PNG to Region 2, and we almost got SOC and PNG in Round 2.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting it in Round 4, and took a little while for them to get their location set as well, but they've got it set, and now we get this showdown.
Do we want to talk about the location situation?
Yeah, they wanted to play at Prairie View, and Prairie View, you know, just kind of drug their feet on it, and both schools just got tired of waiting, and so they talked about a home neutral with U of H and Baylor involved, and then they ended up settling on Nacogdoches, which is actually pretty neutral. Man,
yeah.
It's 163 miles for SOC and 147 miles for PNG, which when you're dealing with schools in that far of a distance, that's a pretty about as neutral as you're going to get. It's a good stadium. Seats about 15,000, and they can get 20,000 in there on the hills. So we'll see. We know PNG.
Fired up.
Yes, Coach Carthel called me. He's fired up. He's willing to be the ball boy if anybody needs him. So
he gets in for free, which is nice.
He does get in for free, and we'll see if Carthel goes shirt off as. That's what I need. I need Carthel to go shirt off as ball boy.
No, he needs to hand the gold ball to the winner
with no shirt on.
Carthel, make it happen.
V&A, I need you to. If you don't know what we're talking about, V&A, just look up Colby Carthel shirt off or something, and you'll get the bit.
Off.
Yeah, you'll get the bit. No, this is going to be a great football game, and because of the matchup in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
This is Clash of the Titans, gladiators type stuff. The North Shore. The PNG offensive line, led by Jackson Christian, an A&M commit, going against the South Oak Cliff defensive line, which is loaded. They've got about eight guys they rotate through, and there's probably three or four that are going to be divisional. And they have a Baylor commit, I know, on the defensive line right now. They've got several others who are outstanding. That is your money matchup. In the trenches, the PNG offensive line against the SOC defensive line, it is going to be fascinating to watch that matchup, because it is two elite units that are going to beat the hell out of each other for 48 minutes. PNG, last week against Texas High, just literally at times brought a running back in, a linebacker in to play basically single wing quarterback, and they just got in single wing and just snapped it to the linebacker who's 6'3", 220, and they just bulldozed over Texas High. His name is, I had it written down here. Where'd it go?
You're listening to
Mason. Mason Winchell, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. If I got your last name wrong, I apologize. He also threw a touchdown pass. They kind of ran a little jump pass over there. Great scheme, great game plan. And I think PNG is going to stick with that. That's what they do well. Obviously, their quarterback is back. London Nunley's a very good wide receiver. When they do need to throw it, they can get the job done. I love Tyson Henry. He's been great. PNG offensively is stout. That's going to be a great matchup. The concern here is I don't know if PNG's defense is near what they were a year ago. They're just not as strong as they were last year. And did I make
you
laugh?
Did you look up Colby Carthel shirtless?
Did you? Isn't that awesome?
That's so
He's crazy. Invited the Dude Rock Banquet.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Colby Carthel's coming to Dude Rock.
He's amazing.
Colby Carthel's a keynote speaker at the Dude Rock Banquet.
Yeah, he's just awesome. So
I'm put a picture
He's fun at coaching school, let me tell you. And so it's gonna that's the money matchup there. The PNG offensive line, SOC defensive line. But I think the big disadvantage PNG has in this game is when their defense is on the field against SOC's offense. I think SOC is really good on the offensive line. LaVon Morton, Mikhail Trotter at running back. Carter Capecchi's been very good at quarterback, dual threat guy. They've got weapons.
And let me be clear about something, because I think one of the things is how is this game different from last year, from the state championship we had last year. I think the South Oak Cliff offensive line is clearly better than they were last year.
Yes.
Like, noticeably better.
And I think PNG's defensive line is a step or two below what they were last year.
They lost a couple of dudes up front.
Yes. And so I think SOC is going to be able to establish the running game and which is really what they could not do last year consistently in the state championship game. They got put into some obvious passing downs, and they struggle in that situation. I think that's going to be the key in this game. I like South Oak Cliff. I think they're just a little bit more of a complete ball club this year. PNG's offense is a cheat code, and they can keep them in it, and they can control the clock. And if their defense can come up with a couple of surprise stops, they'll shorten the game and they'll limit possessions, and that's kind of their path. But I think Sox offense is a little too efficient this year, and I think PNG's defense has just taken that step down that gives that, you know, switches that the edge to South Oak Cliff in this year's matchup.
I like PNG in a close one. I think that that offensive line, we have not seen a team match up with them for 48 minutes, basically, aside from Nederland in the game they lost. That was why.
And that's a rivalry game, and you always kind of see those kind of wonky things happen in rivalry games, too.
I think the PNG offensive line is the difference. I think they're able to come up with a couple of big plays. And then Connor Bailey, their quarterback, I think he comes up with a couple throws that put them over the top. I like PNG in a very, very close. They get the chance. A lot of this is just like even matchup, champion's advantage. That's where I go with that. Similarly, my first pick, Matthew, I think there's a real argument to be made. Is it fair to say that Sock PNG is perhaps the most anticipated game of the 11-man, like potential game? It's on that very short list of most anticipated games.
I would agree.
Matt Stepp, 6 o'clock Saturday night.
Ooh.
At the Wild in Godley.
Oh, you're going this is six man ball here. You're going six man.
It is the six man football game of the year as the number one 13-0 Gordon Longhorns take on the number one 13-0 Abbott Panthers for a spot at AT&T Stadium. This is wire-to-wire number one versus number two. Undefeated. They've played 26 games. They're both 13-0. 25 of them have been decided by the 45-point mercy rule. Wow. The only game that wasn't, Abbott opened the season against Oglesby and won by like 22. Oglesby's playing in the Division II state semifinals. Like, these two teams are, in my opinion, with the respect to Whiteface and Water Valley, who are playing in the other 1A Division I state semifinal, these are very clearly the two best teams in 1A Division I, and I would say very clearly the two best teams in six-man football. The star power here is outrageous. Rye Reed, Stryker Reed for Gordon. On the Abbott side, you've got Paxton Pajowski. You have got Mason Hell. You've got Riley Sestala. You've got a ton of dudes. And what's interesting is that Gordon is the defending state champs. So they've got championship pedigree. Abbott played in, a lot of these guys played in the state championship in 2022 and lost to Westbrook for Abbott. Like, you know, guys like Joey Pavelka played in that game. So they've got big game experience as well. This is, the computer's got it as a pick 'em. It is too close to call. I think Gordon, their path through Region 4 is a little bit more treacherous. And I think that their defense has been the difference. I think they have one of, they are closing in on, let me look this up. Gordon, in six-man football, in 13 games, has allowed 48 points in six-man football. 48 points.
That's crazy.
They're giving up 4 points a game. I think that defense is the difference. They're a little bit better defensively. Game of the year in six-man football. I like Gordon in a very, very close one. They're at a beautiful stadium, the Wild in Godley.
That's a great stadium.
So, anyway, I went a little off the board there, but I want to make sure that is the six-man game of the year. We've been waiting for it all year long, and it's finally here. Massive, massive game there.
Who do you like?
I like Gordon in a very close
one. Defending champs, right?
Defending champs. Yeah. There you go. All right, what is your second pick, Matthew?
Let's go 2 o'clock Saturday at Newsom Stadium in Mansfield.
This is the very opposite of six-man football.
Yes, 6A Division I.
This is as...
Featuring Allen.
This is as opposite as it gets.
Featuring Allen, who... Allen High School was bigger than
the... I think it might be every six-man team combined might be smaller than Allen.
That'd be a fun...
I'm going to look it up. Uh-oh. I'm going to see if I can do it.
What a fun bit that is.
Okay.
It's a rematch of last year's Division One final, Region One final in 6A Division One, as the North Crowley Panthers at 13-0 take on the Allen Eagles at 13-0. And both teams coming off pretty hard-fought wins last week. Let's start with North Crowley and their game against previously unbeaten Coppell. 35-24 win. And North Crowley, this is the second playoff game in 3 weeks that they've been tied at halftime, 21-21. They were tied with Byron Nelson, 21-21. In the second half, they get in the locker room, and Ray Gates and his coaching staff make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
They make
really
some elite adjustments. They changed up their look on the defensive line. Because basically what North Crowley was doing, in the win, they outscored Coppell 14-3 in the second half. Basically what they did is they dared Coppell to run the ball. They showed Coppell a light box, and they said, we are going to make you check into running plays and not let Eddie Griffin beat them. They did not want the ball in Edward Griffin's hands, which smart.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want the ball in his hands either. And eventually, Coppell, they made some adjustments and stopped the Coppell running game. Cornelius Warren was the star of the show. 203 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. Jimerson had a long touchdown pass. Chris Jimerson had a long touchdown pass as well. And, you know, North Crowley, just they showed some grit in this game. They showed some grit. They showed some toughness that they haven't had to show this year, and they showed it against a really, really good Coppell team.
Yeah, Coppell makes you work.
Yeah. Very, very impressive win. Speaking of gritty, how about Allen's 22-21 win over Trinity?
Gutty stuff, man.
The difference in the game, Allen, on their first touchdown of the game, the first quarter, goes for 2. I don't know. I haven't seen the game tape yet. I don't know if that was a planned 2-point conversion. If Trinity got a penalty and they had a short, you know, they were 1 yard out, but they went for 2 and went up 8-0, and that was the difference. They won 22-21. Again, Allen's offense is not going to blow you away with big numbers. They're efficient and they're workmanlike, but this is a team that Allen that relies on defense and field position. Brady Bricker, the quarterback, had a good game: 2 rushing touchdowns, 234 yards of offense. The problem I see in this game for Allen, I think Allen will keep it competitive, just like they did last year, but I don't think they're quite – they just don't have the explosive playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And North Crowley's got a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got dudes all over the place. And I think eventually Allen's defense gets worn down. They're on the field. They're going to be on the field a lot. North Crowley's going to – that dam's going to break. That pressure's going to build, and eventually it's going to be close probably for 3 quarters, and then the 4th quarter, kind of like last year, North Crowley kind of pulls away and pulls away late and gets the win. So I like North Crowley here. I think we're looking at a Duncanville North Crowley rematch, and I think North Crowley is just at a different level this year.
Excuse me, I just get choked up thinking about it.
Oh, no, just
2 things. One, I think you're right. The money matchup here is win. Oh my gosh! Oh, the community coffee is too good.
It's too good.
The money matchup is when North Crowley has the ball. Because you want to talk about weaponry versus what has been a lockdown defense for Allen. That is the real money matchup here. Secondly, this feels like the final exam for Brady Bricker. Like, we've talked about how much we feel like he's grown and he's elevated this team.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be like the top. Like, we talk about, as the season goes on, you got to be ready for prime time when prime time arrives. Prime time has arrived. Mm-hmm. And Brady Bricker, I don't want to put it on one guy. He's got to go out there and have a special performance.
Sure, sure.
That's how Allen wins this game. And I think that the weaponry on the North Crowley side is too much. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference. They can beat you in so many different ways. So good pick. By the way, small follow-up. The combined enrollment of North Crowley and Allen is 9,894. Mm-hmm. 9,894. The combined enrollment of the 154 six-man football teams is 9,680.
That's crazy.
So,
oh,
there you go. There's a goodness. There's your Texas high school football fun fact of the week.
Love it.
Presented by Community
Coffee. That's a fun fact, right
now.
There.
That's a fun fact.
Wow. What was that number? What was the six-man number?
9,800 or 680. 680. There you go. You
that's
that
insane.
Up. Here's a little fun fact.
That's awesome.
All right. My second pick, Matthew. There's games that are obviously like big time. Like, I don't need to sell you on some of the games we're going to talk about. Allen or Crowley, I don't need to sell you on.
No.
I would even go so far. We haven't taken North Shore Test Seat of Volume 2 yet, but that's a game we don't need to sell you on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I need to sell you on this. 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Harlandale Memorial Stadium in San Antonio. Judgment Day has come in Region 4. Of 4A Division 2. as the Wimberley Texans take on the Sinton Pirates in, I mean, like I said, it's just Judgment Day.
This is the
moment.
Can someone in Wimberley's Reign of Terror in
so
Region 4?
So let me tell you about Wimberley in Region 4, okay? They have won the last two Region 4 titles. They have won four of the last five Region 4 titles. They have won five of the last seven Region 4 titles. They are, not an opinion here, they are the team of record in Region 4 of 4A Division 2.
Correct.
Not an opinion. Doug Warren, we talk about, perhaps the most underrated coach in Texas high school football every single year. And it is a familiar name that is leading Wimberley. Cody Stover is coming to the Dudes Rock Banquet. And that's he's coming to the Dudes Rock Banquet, and he is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Dudes Rock Banquet. You want to talk? It is important to remember the origin story of Cody Stover.
Yeah, it's really it's relevant.
Cody Stover in 2022. That was when who was the quarterback who left to go to China Spring?
Cash McCollum.
Cash McCollum leaves Wimberley, transfers to China Spring, wins the title at China Spring. Congratulations to Cash McCollum. I like him.
He's at UNT now, is he?
North Texas. Yeah. And we are all thinking he had just led Wimberley to a title game, and we're thinking, well, that's the end of Wimberley. They got to plug in this sophomore quarterback, this nobody, and along comes Cody Stover. And puts together what I think can only be described as an iconic Texas high school football career.
He's been unbelievable.
What he has done at Wimberley over the last 3 years is the kind of stuff that, like, they're gonna retire his number one day at Wimberley.
For sure.
He's a special, special player. And he's continuing to do it, and he's doing that thing again. They mollywopped Cuero last week. I mean, drug them. And that was a team, remember, that motioned over to Region 4, and we thought, could that be a team that could give Wimberley trouble? Well, dispatch them. But here is the team that has been earmarked as the Wimberley killer in Sinton.
Yes, this year, yeah.
This is the team, okay? The Pirates have been unbelievable all year. 13-0, a relentless defense led by Aiden Galvan. A relentless defense, and they've got their own superstar quarterback in Tristan Hansen. He's awesome.
He's been tremendous.
He's been so good for them, and they are a team. Here's what I respect about Sinton. It has not been every game that both the offense and the defense have been hitting on all cylinders, but it has been every game that at least one of them has.
Correct.
And they will pick up after the other. There have been times where the defense has been touched up a little bit, and the offense is like, we got you.
Yeah.
There's been other games where the offense has had an okay game, and the defense has been like, you give us 28 points and we'll win the game. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. I think they're going to do it. I think it is hard to pick against Wimberley in a regional, game. But I think that Sinton, their defense can slow down Stover, and this Wimberley defense has been good, but it has not been untouchable.
No, it hasn't been.
And so I think that is where Sinton can win a close 28-21 slugfest ball game for the ages and move on to the state semifinal.
I was on board with that
until
I saw what Wimberley did to Cuero last week.
They did drill them.
That was...
But Cuero, the thing is, I think...
And Sinton beat Cuero, I think memory serves fairly comfortably. I got to double check that. But...
Maybe, I don't know. I would need to check that. That is true. I will just say that Cuero's defense can be touched up, is the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It got touched up by Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
It got touched up, obviously, by Wimberley. I think Sinton's a different animal. They're built different. I think Sinton's going to do it. I think Sinton can dethrone Wimberley. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But I like Sinton and Wimberley.
23-18 was Sinton and Cuero.
Okay.
So
but I want you to
Cody
think
Stover
about,
had six touchdowns. Yeah. That's like Thursday for him. That's
just
like
rolls out of bed.
Yeah, that's like Thursday second period math. That's what I got to do this week.
It's a huge game for a spot in the semifinals.
And who's in Region 3 at 4 Division 2?
La Vega or Sealy.
Winnable game.
Yeah, yeah.
Winnable game. Anyway, I like Sinton and Wimberley is my second pick. What's your third pick, Matthew?
Man, I am going brand name step here.
You are. It's okay. This is a good week for it.
2 o'clock Saturday at Thorne Stadium in Houston.
This is brand name.
Live on TexanLive.com. There you go, VNA.
Love it.
It's North Shore Atascocita, Part 77.
North Shore.
North Shore has won the last 9 meetings in this series. Mm-hmm. I believe 3 have come in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And we thought in week 9 that winning streak was coming to an end. Mm-hmm. For 47 minutes, Atascocita handled North Shore. And then North Shore pulled one out of their rear end and beat Atascocita 27-23.
They found a way.
They got a short punt. They got a sensational, crazy catch to get them down there in the end zone near the goal line, and they scored. Atascocita had to walk away from that game going, really? Like what do we got to do to beat these guys?
They I think they have to come around to that game and just say, like, maybe it's just never going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Now, their defense played great in that game, but Atascocita's defense has not been good in the playoffs. 2 of the 3 games, they have been touched up.
Mm-hmm.
And last week against – and I get it. Fulcher is a weird team to play against. They are hopped up on energy drinks, and they're not literally, but they just play that way. They're not punting. They're going for 2. They're – onside kicking, they're running that wide zone off. They're
all over the place.
They're just they are the Red Bull of Texas high school football. Like, just they are just, you know. Remember Jolt Cola?
I remember Jolt Cola.
I figured Caduti, like, I could see Caduti drinking like Jolt Cola.
Remember Surge?
Barely, yeah.
I remember
I was
Surge.
A Jolt Cola guy.
Yeah.
Vina, you're
what
too young.
What are you guys saying?
We're
right
old.
Now?
Just Jolt Cola was like this.
I'll tell you when you're older.
Oh gosh,
soda that like came out and had like 5 times the caffeine of a normal Coke. Mm-hmm. Truckers drank it. Mm-hmm.
Jolt.
J-O-L-T. Yeah, Jolt Cola. I could see Caduti just drinking that, and he's just so fired up all the time. So anyway, back to Atascocita. They struggled against. Like, we went off on a tangent there, but they struggled against Fulcher. They struggled against Dickinson. Yep. That's a concern. Their defense played great against North Shore. Can they replicate that effort this week against this North Shore offense, which has dudes everywhere? Quanell Farrakhan, Deion DeBlanc, DeAndre Hardiman Jr., Chris Thomas. They're just Cameron Smith, weapons all over the place. They jump out to that 21-0 lead on Katie, and you're thinking it's going to be a blowout. Devin Sanchez gets an interception, sets North Shore up near the goal line. And then Caleb Bailey throws a mystifying interception. And it was mystifying.
Yeah.
Katie returns to a 3-yard line, scores. The very next drive, Bailey fumbles. Katie hits a 20-yard field. The score all of a sudden is 21-14. The carelessness with the football, and then a couple of weird fourth down. They went for it. They tried a kind of a fake rugby punt that got stopped. Just the kind of nonchalantness with the ball worries me about North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tassie, the Cardae Mack and Torrey Blaylock, and Torrey Blaylock didn't play against North Shore. That combo of Blaylock and Cardae Mack,
or he played, but I think he was hurt.
He was hampered. I think he was sick. Maybe he didn't play a lot. But yeah, he wasn't 100%. He's 100%. He had 5 touchdowns last week. Mm-hmm. That combo is really, really hard to stop. Now North Shore's run defense is really, really good, and then you've got Devin Sanchez, Pringle back there, Charles Ross. They're loaded in the second. The North Shore's defense is 2018 levels good. Mm-hmm. They are really, really good. But if their offense turns the ball over and sets them up against short fields, eventually, against Atascocita, they're going to cave. If North Shore takes care of the football, they win 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
But they haven't shown they'll take care of the football. That's why I'm taking Atascocita. The streak ends. I'm going playing the odds here. I don't know if North Shore takes care of the football enough, and I think Atascocita pulls one out.
I think that's entirely fair. I'll just say this. I think your read on it, like your little synopsis there of saying if they take care of the football, they win by 14, is exactly right.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say they take care of the football. Okay. That's it. That's the bottom line of it. It's that, like, they find a way to make enough plays, and I ain't picking against
the streak. It's weird to say this. I don't know if I trust Caleb Bailey right now. He just made a couple of, you know, he's just been, when he's good, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
When he's bad, he's made some bad, he's just been careless with the football.
Yeah.
Got to take care of the football.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you get to round 4 and beyond, you got to take care of the ball.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive game. I don't need to sell you on a task seat in North Shore. Like, no. It's a great game. It's on Dave Campbell's Text and Live. You should watch it.
You should watch it.
So we've previewed two of the 6A Division I regional finals.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to preview three of them. Somehow I don't think we'll get to four.
And I talk Duncanville Bridgeland.
I love the Bears. Did you see that catch? I have his name. I want to make sure I shout him out.
Just yell at Maximum Bears when he caught it.
Oh, my God. It was an outrageous catch. I had his name somewhere.
Maximum Bears is probably one of the weirdest niche bits that we ever came up with.
Wait till I shift it into Maximum Bears. I don't know if I can have it anywhere.
I think the hashtag Max Bears, you know.
That was great. Okay, so the receiver's name was...
Number 14.
Connor Dandridge.
Yeah, number 14.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I think Duncanville's going to beat him.
Yeah, I think so too. But I thought the Woodlands would be competitive, and
sure enough,
are. Bridgeland's better than the Woodlands, in my opinion. I think Bridgeland's better. I think Bridgeland can keep it competitive. Now we'll see if Duncanville. I don't know if Duncanville played their best game against the Woodlands last week, so we'll see if Duncanville Coach Samp gets on them this week and they play a focused game.
7 o'clock Friday night at the Palace on Parmer.
The Palace on Parmer,
Reeves Stadium in Round Rock.
I used to date a girl that lived off Parmer. Sorry. Just, you know, in my 20s, you know.
It's the Battle of the Lakes.
When I hear Parmer, it's all I think about. I date a girl off Parmer.
Battle of the Lakes again?
Battle of the Lakes for the second straight year.
Again. They like to play each other.
Westlake and Lake Travis. Remember in 2020 we didn't get it? Like, I think it got canceled for some reason.
They didn't play in the regular season.
And then they didn't. I think Lake Travis lost in
Round Rock.
Lost Round Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the first round. It is Lake Travis and Westlake, a rivalry renewed.
Ooh.
And it's important to remember, this is a rematch, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Westlake won it 28-16. And my question always, whenever there is a rematch, is, okay, what has changed? Or what happened in the first game that you don't think will happen in the second game or is not likely to happen? So, like, on the North Shore task, Sita, your comment is, I think that Torrey Blaylock is different because he's healthy, and you think that North Shore's carelessness with the ball will eventually get them.
Yes.
That is what has changed. You look at this game, and a lot of the major factors in this game have not changed.
No.
It's still Chasten Ditta for Lake Travis, who's been very strong. Van Hopping, the running back for them, who I think is really the star of that show.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's been great.
He had like a 90-yard touchdown run last week.
Going up against Reese Wise, Brandon Clark, and these guys for Westlake, both these teams are coming off of dominant performances over teams from District 29
6A. Correct.
As Lake Travis dispatched with East Central. and then it was Westlake really put it on the Buta Johnson defense.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dominant performance from both these teams. And now the question becomes, what has changed since then? Because 26-14, and that is, or 28-16, and that is honestly about where we thought the first game was going to land. I think if you'd come to me after that game and said, hey, like, it was 28-16 is the final score, I would be like, yeah, that sounds about right for Westlake.
That kind of pace of game.
Defense and special teams, for all we talk about the offenses in this game, that is what is the critical component for both these teams.
These are two programs that have been quarterback factories, and we're talking defense and special
teams.
The linebacker for Westlake,
Ellie Shaper,
he's unbelievable.
He
might be the best. I don't know. He's probably not the best recruit. I mean, he's committed to Duke. It's not like he's a Division I commit. He might be the best defensive high school football player in Texas. He's unbelievable.
Let me pay him an ultimate compliment for Elliott Shaper at Westlake. He reminds me of Torian York. Remember Torian York when he was at Temple?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, this dude's an animal. Like, why is he not like a 7-star recruit? And it's like, I think he's a little undersized or something like that. But like, just a playmaking dude. To me, I believe that is the difference is... Westlake's defense and special teams is a little bit superior to Lake Travis's defense and special teams. The offenses, I think, are about a wash, honestly. In fact, if you want to say that they've got that Lake Travis has the single individual best playmaker in Hopping, I'd be inclined to agree with you. But I think that
Tony Salazar's defenses this time of year peak. They play for this time foot year.
The playoff footballs are a jam.
This is their jam.
Yeah.
And I think that is the difference. I think it might be closer. Mm-hmm. It might be like a 10-point game or a 7-point game, but I'm not sure anything fundamentally has changed to close a 12-point gap, and I think that's why Westlake wins it, and they move on to take on the winner of North Shore and Atascocita. That is my third pick. What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
Let's go 7:30 Friday at Forney's Citibank Stadium. Live on TexanLive.com. Wow. As Kilgore and Chapel Hill are playing in Forney? Question mark?
That is an all-time weirdo-like location.
So apparently there was some games. So these two, obviously, are district rivals.
Yeah.
They've played in the playoffs the last 3 years. Chapel Hill's won all three. And they've played in Tyler twice. They played in Longview once. And Tyler had a game, and I don't think Chapel Hill was real fired up to play Kilgore in Longview, considering how, you know, Kilgore's 5 minutes from Longview, mm-hmm. basically. And there's really, other than those two stadiums, there's not a whole lot of places in East Texas.
Like big places,
This is going to be sellout type crowd.
Yeah.
They talked about Jacksonville, love the Tomato Bowl, but it's in downtown, so parking mm-hmm. can be a little bit shaky, especially when they have a big crowd. So they decided, let's just go a little further east and go down the road and play in Forney. And so, yeah, they're in Forney Friday night.
So before you even start, I want somebody to go back and check the tape after they played in the regular season, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the whatever the week, what they played on October 11th.
Kilgore won big.
Kilgore won 42-7.
Mm-hmm.
And I want somebody to pull the tape of Tep and Step the week after, and we've said, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise to see these two teams if Lake Chapel could get together. And it may follow the same script of Kilgore winning in the regular season and Chapel Hill winning the playoffs, because lo and behold.
Yeah, here we are.
Here we have arrived in Forney.
This is the ninth meeting since 2020 of these two teams. Kilgore's 4-1 in the regular season against Chapel Hill and 0-3 in the playoffs.
Okay.
And last year, two of the 3 years, Chapel Hill ripped Kilgore's heart out.
Yeah.
Then last year, Kilgore blew Chapel Hill away in the regular season, and then Chapel Hill got the revenge in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Kilgore blew Chapel Hill out in the regular season. Now, Chapel Hill had some notable guys missing. Brisbane, the Baylor commit, and Stewart. I think Stewart may have played, but didn't play very long.
Yeah.
He was hurt. Both those guys are back. But Chapel Hill's offense, now granted, against a really good underrated Stafford defense, mm-hmm. they kind of struggled last week. They did win 28-3. The defense played well. Trevor Brooks, the linebacker, is unbelievable for Chapel Hill. The offense kind of struggled. And one of the touchdowns was a special team score. So Brisbane's back. He's not playing quarterback full time. Now, maybe they unleash him this week. I don't know. But the junior quarterback, G, has done a good job getting Chapel Hill to this point. Stewart looks healthy. He looks good to go. So that's not the issue for Chapel Hill. But consistency on offense has been an issue. No such issues for the Kilgore Bulldogs last week.
Nope.
They got the ball 5 times in the first half and scored all 5 times. And they obliterated Navasota 62-7. Kaysen Brooks, the quarterback, throws for 4 touchdowns, 2 going to Jaden Sanders, the Michigan commit, who is the star of the show there at Kilgore. But Kilgore's got a ton of weapons. We saw Kilgore at State 7-on-7. They blew us away. And Jaden Sanders is a stud. But Rayshawn Williams, their sophomore running back, 118 yards rushing. He caught a touchdown pass. Kilgore's secondary, in my opinion, is the best secondary in Class 4A, and mm-hmm. their front seven is among the best. Mm-hmm. Kilgore's defense is awesome. The Raging Red be raging, mm-hmm. buddy, let me tell you. I think this is the year Clint Fuller and Kilgore get over the hump. I don't think Chapel Hill can keep doing this thing that they've been doing.
Man.
I just think Kilgore finally is going to break through here. It might break through emphatically.
I want to be clear.
I think Kilgore's
team
of destiny this year.
You're exactly right in every way about that, in the sense of, like, it is absolutely Kilgore's time. I think they're better than Chapel Hill. Like, even fully healthy, I think they're just better than Chapel Hill. I think they're more complete than Chapel Hill. And I think that, like, they've already got a 35-point win over Chapel Hill. They've got the dude in Sanders. They have got the defense, which has looked so good. They are rolling right now. They're playing their best football right now. And yet,
Is there a little something inside you saying
there's oil? Something in me that is saying, like, you're an idiot. You're falling for this again. Mm-hmm. Because they've always done it. This is Chapel Hill's bit.
Yeah.
This is their whole bit.
Yeah.
So I want to be clear. I am picking Kilgore. That is the chalky pick. Mm-hmm. Almost everything in this game points to Kilgore, and maybe points to Kilgore like as big as the first matchup, mm-hmm. like by multiple touchdowns. Everything on paper does. And also, they don't play the game on paper.
They don't.
And there's a lot of context in this game.
Yeah.
And so,
and I guarantee if Chapel Hill pulls it off, Reardon's texted me Saturday morning going, told you so.
There is no reason Chapel Hill should win this game. And yet I think it's a 50-50.
It's crazy.
It's a coin flip game. It's a coin flip game.
There's not a lot of good games, big games. It's going to be quiet Friday night for the most part in DFW. There's a couple of games. But if you're on the eastern side of the Metroplex, the Mesquite, Dallas mm-hmm. area, oh. if you can get a ticket to this game, this is going to be big-time football.
And a big-time atmosphere. Yes. Because both those towns are just going, they're going to be annoyed. They have to drive to Forney, but they're going to drive.
Yeah, they'll be there.
They'll drive.
Yeah.
My fourth pick, Matthew. I cannot believe this is the fourth pick, the eighth pick of the draft.
Yeah, it's a great week.
Let's go. I should probably pull up the actual when and where. Actually, you can tell me. 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Gupton Stadium in Cedar Park?
Yes.
Is that now correct. Official?
That is. It's 7 or 7:30. Let's check the text here.
7 or 7:30. Yeah. We'll be updated by the time you listen to this on TexasFootball.com.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock Friday night at Gupton Stadium in Cedar Park. It is the Region 3 final in 3A Division 1. This has been largely what this is like a culmination of all the regions that we were most excited about in the preseason, like before the playoffs, mm-hmm. and this is a perfect example of that. As the Columbus Cardinals at 12-1 take on the Franklin Lions at 10-2, in a game that for me will determine the favorite in the state to win the 3A Division 1 state championship. That's okay. Me. Respect to Llano and Edna. Respect to Malakoff Liberty Isle. Mm-hmm. Fun game.
Great game.
In respect to Shallow Water and Paradise, I think the winner of this game is a favorite.
Okay.
I think people forget that Franklin has played in 4 straight state championship games. I need to keep reminding people.
Yeah, that's the sole reason.
They were...
On paper, Columbus is better, but that's the sole reason I picked Franklin is the pedigree. They're hard to beat in the playoffs.
Franklin lost the 2020 state championship game to Canadian on basically a Hail Mary. They won the 2021 state championship over Gunner, handing Gunner their last playoff loss, mind you. They won the 2023 state championship game, or 2022 state championship game. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the 2023 state championship, and they lost by a touchdown to Malakoff.
Yeah.
Okay? They have lost, they are 2 touchdowns away from winning 4 straight state championships.
Yeah. It's been an unbelievable run for those guys.
And they're doing the thing again.
Yeah.
They're running the dang ball out of the slot T.
Slot T is the... What's the slot T, VNA?
Devil.
Yay! Hey,
we've corrupted her. Yeah.
We have corrupted her. They've won... They Jaden Jackson is a horse.
Yeah.
He's just a horse.
He's just a large child.
A large child. A thoroughbred. Okay. He
his
between
poor
him,
mother in that grocery bill.
His brother, Bubba Jackson.
Yeah.
Is no slouch.
Do we know what Bubba's real name is? What his mom named him?
Don't care. I mean, I do.
I like Bubba.
I'm calling him Bubba.
Yeah. If his mom calls him Bubba, we'll
I'm
call
calling
him Bubba.
Bubba.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe mom calls him by his government name.
Reginald.
I don't know.
Something like that. And by the way.
I'm going to look that up after the game.
And by the way, underrated, I think, about Franklin. They're flying under the radar because they took 2 losses mm-hmm. early in the year. They lost to Spring School of Legacy of Sports and Sciences.
Good team.
A good private school team. And they got drilled by Salina. Well Salina's a 4A Division 1 team still playing.
Number 1 team in 4A Division 1. Yeah. Line forms to the left there.
Correct. I will say, since then, it does feel like the defense is rounded into form. And the defense is playing better now. Mm-hmm. Played Hitchcock last week. Got a 35-21 win over a wounded Hitchcock team. But 35-21 win, you don't apologize for.
And Hitchcock was playing very well up to that point.
They were. That defense will need to be on their game against Columbus, who soared to a win last week and looked good doing it. They beat Yoakum, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat Yoakum by the score of 56-42.
And it wasn't that close.
It wasn't all that close.
It was 56-28 midway through the fourth quarter.
Now, here's what's interesting. So that you know the playmakers here. Obviously, they've got Adam Schoble, now a Mr. Texas football finalist.
Congrats.
We do not know the status of Grayson Rigdon. Mm-hmm. Grayson Rigdon, their star running back, left the game kind of early, like second quarter.
He had a touchdown run early in the game, and then he left the game.
And then he left the game and didn't return.
Yes. I've talked to a couple people who think he's going to play this week.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see. I think we could be in for a shootout. I think both these teams are going to be able to move the ball.
Mm.
A lot of this is going to come down to stops and turnovers.
Agree.
I've rolled with Columbus from the jump. I ain't hopping off now. Franklin can 100% win this game.
This is a 50-50.
This is a 50-50 game. This is a coin toss.
They played 2 years ago in this round, and it was a 50-50 game.
It was. It came down to the final play,
yeah,
basically. I mean, like, Franklin more or less walked it off against Columbus.
24-21.
Yeah.
And then Franklin kind of, then they got this, they won the state championship. They had a close, that was the Brock year. They beat Brock in the state championship. So
I think both of these teams can score. Yes. And I think this game could get into the 40s. I like Columbus in a close one, but, I mean, box office stuff in Cedar Park.
It's going
to
be great.
Another game, if you're in Austin,
yes,
get to this game. It'll be fantastic. Agreed. Don't go to Lake Travis Wesley. Go to Columbus and Franklin.
The hipsters are going to Franklin Columbus.
The real sickos are going to Columbus and Franklin.
If you're a sicko, go to Columbus Franklin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What is your fifth and final pick, Matthew? Your final draft pick of the year.
No.
I know.
Cherish it.
With all my heart. 7:30 Friday night at Mustang Panther Stadium in Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
It's 13-0 versus 13-0. The Alvarado Indians taking on the Salina Bobcats.
Let's get my subhead for this game. Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's cut the brakes. These two offenses are going to score points. You've got a unbelievable quarterback matchup. Cartier Collier, another Mr. Texas football finalist. Congrats to Cartier. And Salina junior quarterback Bo Bentley, who is another guy who we talked about a lot.
He was, I will tell you this, we had to narrow it down to 10. I am comfortable telling you that he was in the top 15.
Yeah. Both these offenses can score. Now, Alvarado's been living on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 weeks, they have lived on the edge. Last week, they beat Sulphur Springs 42-39. They led by 17. Sulphur Springs made a late rally, couldn't recover an onside kick. Alvarado hangs on. Collier had two touchdown passes, two touchdown runs, just another day. I mean, he's probably got 70 touchdowns this year combined, rushing and receiving.
Probably.
He's been unbelievable. Now, one concern about Alvarado, DeMarcus Belton, their running back, got banged up early in the game, didn't come back. I expect him to play this week, but will he be 100%? We don't know. But as long as they have Cartier Collier, they've got a shot. He's so special. West Mesquite head coach Steven Jackson, because they played at Mesquite Memorial last week.
The guy who knows a little something about football.
He texted me late Friday night and goes, "This Alvarado quarterback is unbelievable." He was like, "He's the best player I've seen all year."
Wow.
And he's not the first coach that's told me that.
Yeah.
And a big school coach, not a 4A coach. Mm-hmm. It's a big school coach telling me this. So he's unbelievable. Then you got Salina. And for the most part, for the first 24 minutes against Aubrey, it looked like another Salina blowout. They were up 35-7 at the half, cruising.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Aubrey doesn't give up.
Yeah, Aubrey kept punching. I'll say that. Give them a lot of credit.
They got this game to a two-score, and they lost 63-49, and Aubrey kept fighting. It's the first time we've really seen Salina's defense touched up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a concern, because Alvarado's the best offense they've seen all year.
Correct.
Now, Salina's offense has yet to be stopped. 63 points last week. Logan Gutierrez, 238 yards, 3 touchdowns. Harrison Williams, 173 yards and 1 touchdown. Bentley rushes for 130, only throws for 133, but has 2 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. He also ran for 3 touchdowns as well. I don't know if he truck sticked a guy like he did in the second round. Did you see that when Bo Bentley in the, against mm-hmm. Kennedale, like just ran over a guy at the goal line, just like, just
mm-hmm.
yeah, just big manned him a little bit. Salina's offense is cooking, but the defense gave up 577 yards and 49 points to Aubrey.
More importantly, let me throw this out to you. I like Brock Temple, the quarterback at Aubrey. Good player. I think Cartier Collier is better than Brock Temple. Respect to you, Brock. Brock Temple threw for 436 and a touchdown and ran for another 90.
Yeah, that's Alvarado's going to have the speed advantage here. Alvarado's going to be able to get to the outside, and Cartier, especially with Collier. Collier is going to be the fastest guy on the field. He is hard to Salina's defense is now Salina does a good job. They last year against Anna, Ziondre Williams, they found a way to kind of keep him contained a little bit in the box and made him a passer. Which what makes Collier and Ziondre Williams from Anna special is their dual threat ability and their ability to pass when you're thinking they're going to run and their ability to run. If you can force Collier into being a passer only and keep him in the confines of the pocket, that's your best shot. I think Salina's defense, I trust them. I don't trust Alvarado's defense at all. I trust Salina's defense to get it fixed. They've got the track record and the pedigree and play the tougher schedule. I think Salina's defense – Alvarez is going to touch him up, but I think Salina's going to get some stops. I see a 49-35 kind of game.
Yeah. This is one of those games where, like, three stops are going to win the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, if you're asking me which defense I think can get the stops, I think it's Salina's. They've proven that. It's a fun game, though. It's the tepid step. Cut the brakes game of the week.
Yes.
It absolutely is. All right. The final pick of the draft, and a lot of great games out there. A lot of great rematches out there. I'm really interested in a lot of big brand name games still out there. Highland Park, Frisco, Lone Star, Denton Ryan Alito's out there.
You didn't pick Denton Ryan Alito. That's
unbelievable. Just
crazy.
DeSoto Longview, you want to talk about a helmet game?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Matt Stepp, the final draft pick of the year. 7 o'clock Friday night at Tiger Stadium in Belton.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go.
The mystery box region of the year comes to its conclusion in 2A Division I Region 2 as the Axtell Longhorns take on the Hamilton Bulldogs.
And we've been to Hamilton this year. We visited Hamilton.
And nobody told us.
No one told us how good Hamilton. We were at Storms, and no one told us how good Hamilton was going to be.
Hamilton.
You read the local newspaper.
I read the local newspaper, and they were like, they were good in the scrimmage.
Yeah. What are we even doing here?
Okay.
Local newspaper, you got to homer it up, man.
I want to set this. This is the most mysterious region of the year.
It's been like that since we did the preview show. We were like, we don't know who the hell's going in this region.
Okay. Here's what's interesting about it.
Okay.
Is that we get kind of a chalky pick and also a total wild card in this game. Axtell's the chalky pick. It was Axtell, Tioga, maybe Italy.
And Frankston were kind of the four teams that we thought would,
were in that mix. I don't think, if you had told us back in August, Axel's going to be in the regional final, we'd be like, okay.
Makes sense.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Craig Horn's done a great job. I think it's his son, Coldenhorn, is running the ball. He's been great. Their quarterback, Levi Leathers, the sophomore, great name, has taken a good step. They are balanced offense, rock solid defense. Mm-hmm. Axtell is a pretty classic regional finalist in a bit of a mystery box region.
Yeah,
okay.
They're 12-1 on the year. Yep. They've done what they needed to do.
No, done what they needed to do. They are the chalky pick to make it here. Hamilton. I went and looked this up. Do you know where we had Hamilton ranked in the preseason? Oh. So because I don't know if the
you're gonna call our own foul here.
We're gonna call our own foul. We had
That's
Hamilton.
What we do at Tep and Step though. We don't run from the smoke.
We had Hamilton ranked 37th in 2A Division 1.
Yeah.
We had Hamilton ranked 3rd in their own district. We had Hamilton ranked 9th in Region 2.
What a bunch of idiots at Dave Campbell's, man.
I think a big reason why is that they went 6-5 last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big reason why is they haven't had a 10-win season since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big reason why is that Hamilton, for the last 20 years, has been in that large bucket of Texas high school football teams that are just like, yeah.
Yeah, they're not terrible, but they're not great.
Yeah. They're fine.
You know what the difference is? We were there in week one. The tap and step magic. We sprinkled it around town.
Bulldog. What was the name of the stadium? Golly.
It's not Bulldog Stadium. Yeah. Me and Tepper skipped around the track and just threw Kuchen Field. Kuchen Field. We skipped around the track at Kuchen Field, throwing tap and step dust out there.
You guys need to go to the Cowboy Stadium and go do that.
Well, it doesn't work, but... Maybe we will at state though. We'll see.
And I'll tell you,
imagine me skipping around the perimeter of the stadium.
Isaac Wood, what a visual! Jackson Edwards, balanced attack. The defense is peaking right now. Someone's going to win this. We said this. We're saying the same thing in December that we said in August. Someone's going to win this region.
Yes.
And Matt Sepp, I think Hamilton's going to win the region.
I'm going with Hamilton, too. I think Hamilton's going to do it.
I think Hamilton's going to be. It wouldn't be a surprise. I think this is a close one-score game.
Sure.
Hamilton's coming off of a gutty win over Kearns, I think 14-7.
Yeah, yeah. They played in Weatherford, which was an odd location for that game.
I'm going with the Bulldogs of Hamilton.
It's the power of Storms Hamburgers.
It is. I like Hamilton in a close one.
And I like hamburgers.
It's a what?
Storms. That's where Tepper and I ate. Yeah, that's where we ate pregame.
There it is, your final game draft.
Best cherry diet Dr. Pepper I've ever had.
Very good.
That was really good.
Step took Port Neches Grove, South Oak Cliff, North Crowley, Allen, North Shore, Taskasita, Kilgore, Chapel Hill, Salina, Alvarado. I took Abbott and Gordon, Sinton, Wibberley, Lake Travis and Westlake, Columbus and Franklin, and Hamilton and Axel. I went a little more hipstery.
You did.
You went a little bit more brand name.
But it's a good mix.
It's a great week of games. Like I said, the games we didn't pick were crazy. I think there's only two games that I think are kind of mismatches this week.
Okay.
I'm willing to say it. One of them, I think Carthage is a pretty clear favorite over Van.
Yeah, I think so.
But a lot of that is just because of the way that Carthage is playing right now. Mm-hmm. They look like an absolute wrecking machine. And then I think Gunner's a pretty clear favorite over Holiday. And that's a say nothing of Holiday. It's just, it's Gunner in Region 2.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't see anybody.
Can't pick against them.
Picking against them. Anyway, it's a great week of games across the state. Matt's up. Now you can tell us.
Yes, now
firmly.
I know where I'm going.
Where you're going.
So we were waiting on Columbus and Franklin to decide. They've decided. So now I've decided. So you'll get my tweet this evening. Thursday night, I'll be at the Star for Honey Grove and Joaquin.
Great.
Didn't think I'd see Honey Grove, yeah.
So I'm going to.
Didn't have Joaquin in the regional final.
Absolutely. I'm going to try to talk. So this week is my kids' birthdays, both of them. You know, conference basketball season.
Yeah.
And
Conference USA basketball tournament.
So a lot of their birthday party is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And my in-laws aren't coming in town for the birthday party. Okay. And my brother-in-law as well. And I think I'm going to try to talk him going to Frisco Lone Star and Highland Park.
Can go Friday?
Friday okay. night. Yeah.
Going to have Connie Rosso pregame?
Might.
Connie Rosso. Okay.
Good to it.
Friday night, I am going to Beast, Texas. Mm-hmm. Heading to Tyler. Beautiful Rose Stadium for Malakoff and Liberty Ilo.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a great game in 3A Division I. Excited about that. Excited to see Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Trip Basinger.
He's put up. Did you see the numbers he put up, Mr.
Stupid?
He had 8 touchdowns, and then just for funsies, he had 10 tackles on defense.
Stupid number.
Liberty Ilo was.
Scoops came over to me, and he was like, "Did you see the Liberty Ilo numbers?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, dude. He's been doing that a lot.
They scored 56 points in the first half against Winsboro.
Mm-hmm.
And we're up 56-21. They didn't score in the second half, which is a little concerning.
Yeah.
A little concerning, but 56 in one half is
pretty good.
About feast or famine.
Do that.
So that's my Friday night game. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, I'm headed back to H-Town. H-Town, hold it down. As 2 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
I get to see that fun fan base from LaPorte. Taking on Angleton at NRG Stadium.
A fun district rematch.
Yeah, so I got to request my credentials tonight.
That was a one-score game the first time.
It was 35-28, yeah.
And both these teams are playing better than I think they were then.
And then Saturday night, 6 o'clock game. I think it's the last regional final, 6 o'clock, in the UIL 11, man, at least.
Yeah.
Richmond Randall, 13-0, taking on Iowa Colony, 12-1.
You got to see Randall last year.
I got to see Iowa Colony last week, too.
That's right. You saw Randall, and you got to see Landon Williams-Callis.
I got to see Landon Williams-Callis. He is as advertised as a sophomore. He's
unbelievable.
That 73-yard touchdown catch,
which we're gonna look at that before we leave today. I want to show you that. It was pretty crazy. Should be a great game Saturday night. And
another rematch.
Yeah, I might go back to House of Pies too. I've never been to House. I don't like pie, but their cookies were awesome.
That's a Craig Way favorite.
Yes, their cookies were incredible.
I went to this is a story as we're winding down the podcast. We were at coaching school in Houston one year, and we were having, I think it was the year of our first ever social, first official social at a restaurant.
we will not speak at the hotel social.
Shout out Kendall Iams. Anyway,
you know.
We went to, but we were standing outside on like the patio, and like a truck pulls up, and Craig Way is, I think he's sitting there with his wife in the truck, and he rolls down the window and goes, "Hey Tupper, you want to go to House of Pies?" And I've never abandoned you guys quicker. I was just like, "Yes, I want to go to House of Pies with Craig Way." Yes. It was awesome.
Yes, I didn't know there was. I thought there was just one. There's like seven or eight.
Yeah, there are. There's a few.
I was driving to Waller and I saw it on the right off 290. And I was like, "Oh, House of Pies!" Mm-hmm. And so I was like, "I don't. I'm not a big dessert. Me and Pickle are not dessert people."
Yeah,
but
really, you either?
No, I like more than Pickle, but I'm very plain with my desserts. Chocolate cake, yellow cake, chocolate icing, brownies. And chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now, I love chocolate chip cookies. And I was like, I bet they have good chocolate chip cookies.
And?
I'm getting another dozen next week. They're freaking amazing. So, yes.
I love cookies.
Good. Yes.
Let's go to V&A Moreno to find out what V&A wrote down.
All right, guys. Y'all kept it on the rails again. Y'all didn't go too crazy.
It's the playoffs. We're, you know.
Yeah,
we're,
y'all mean business.
We're professional.
This time. Obviously, Kobe Carthel.
Yes, Colby Carthel, the head coach of Stephen F. Austin.
Shirt off.
Jolt Cola. I looked at the Jolt Cola thing, and it looks terrifying.
Yes. I've drank Jolt Cola before as a kid.
As a kid?
Well, yeah, I was a kid when it came out. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There was a lot. I actually wrote down so much, but it was just like notes. Kilgore Chapel Hill is a coin flip game. Mm-hmm. Franklin's pedigree trumps Columbus. Mm-hmm. Alvarado living on the edge. Cartier Collier still him.
Yep.
Tep and Step cut the breaks game of the week.
Yeah, that would.
I like that.
We have to institute that next week. Yes. Like, we'll have a hipster game of the week
and,
Tep and Step cut the breaks game of the week.
I like that. Here on Tep and Step, we don't run from the smoke.
Run from the smoke.
That's right.
The other thing, so this is the last, we'll have obviously our state semifinal preview. I've warned V&A. So we don't have a game draft last week. We just previewed 20 games.
Yeah, we're going 20 deep.
So just like lock in for a 2-hour Tep and Step next week.
Yeah.
Oh,
your treat
goodness.
Will be on Wednesday. We'll have
is noble. I can tell you how long the one last year was.
Oh boy. Prepare
because it's a beefy boy. Yeah,
prepare your butts.
She's a beefy boy.
Okay.
she's a beefy podcast. And then, of course, we'll have the state championship preview episodes for you guys. So the state semifinal preview last time was episode 175. Get your invasion supplies and come on was the name of it. And it went for a crisp 100. Oh, it was only 105 minutes. Only an hour 45.
Okay.
We can do that. I think we can do it in an hour 45.
Yeah, we can do that.
Anyway, thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week for the semifinal preview on Tep and Step.
Bye. Yeah.